Okay, good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I want to thank my colleagues at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, where data collection took place, and also my colleagues at Yale. Dr. Larkin is actually with us in the audience today. I would also like to thank the Department of Surgery at UT Southwestern for providing financial support for this project. With over 115 million visits per year in the United States and the numbers being on the rise in the past decade, the emergency department provides a prime opportunity to screen for drug and alcohol abuse. A recent IOM report describes the emergency medical system as overburdened and underfunded, which is why early screening, identification, and intervention are needed to help prevent repeat visits and reduce human and economic costs. Sorry about the delay. Speaking of costs, we know drug and alcohol abuse are very costly. 15 years ago, it was expensive, and it still is. Drug and alcohol abuse is estimated to cost $200 to $300 billion annually for drugs and alcohol combined in terms of losses in productivity, crime, and health. The United States Services Preventive Task Force recommends screening for alcohol misuse, and recommendations for routine drug screening are in progress. And this is a change from their 1996 statement of insufficient evidence to recommend for or against screening for routine screening for drug abuse. Guidance on the best screening method is lacking. In fact, the literature regarding the optimal way to screen is mixed. There's a large body of literature showing that face-to-face interviews are good in comparison to biological markers and handwritten surveys, but the downside is that face-to-face interviews take time and providers may be inconsistent in the way they screen or biased. However, more novel approaches using computers have been tested. To our knowledge, there have been no head-to-head comparisons of computer versus face-to-face drug and alcohol screening in the emergency department setting in terms of numbers captured. There are studies supporting computerized screening, but many lack comparison groups or look at feasibility or respondent satisfaction only. And other studies have not been for this population of our study, which is adults or the emergency department setting. The current study is a part of a larger study trying to identify occult mental health needs in non-psychiatric ER patients, and our objective for this study was to evaluate differences in report of alcohol and drug use to computer versus face-to-face interview in an emergency department setting. This is an IRB-approved study, and it was conducted in June and July of both 2003 and 2006 in the emergency department at Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas. Parkland is a level one trauma center and urban teaching hospital with an average of 480 visits per day. A total of 2,377 patients were enrolled during random time blocks. 133 were not able to complete the entire computerized survey, and we found that 14 were previously enrolled enrolled both in 2003 and 2006, so we had to eliminate the ones from 2006. So that left us with 2,230 included in this analysis. Patients with psychiatric-related primary complaints were excluded from the study, as well as those who were previously enrolled. And for a computerized interview, drug abuse was identified using the Shedler Quick Psychodiagnostics Panel, and alcohol abuse was identified using the NIAAA quantity frequency questions. The QPD panel is a SCID-validated computer screen, and it's self-administered, asking a series of screening questions. Only patients who respond positively to the preliminary questions are then asked further questions to fully assess substance-related symptoms. For the face-to-face interview, ED physicians used NIAAA questions, NIAAA format questions, and for alcohol, and dichotomous yes-no drug questions. Face-to-face interview data were collected via chart review. And this is a cross-sectional study. Each patient enrolled completed both the computerized survey followed by the physician face-to-face interview. For analysis, we looked at descriptives, including frequencies and chi-squares. We also calculated sensitivity and negative predictive values. Our gold standard was defined as a positive screen by either the computer in the computerized interview or via face-to-face interview. So false positive rates are assumed to equal zero. Okay, moving on to results, I'll start with some basic demographics and highlight the interesting findings in regard to heavy drinking and substance abuse. This group was nearly 50-50 in terms of gender representation. Men showed higher rates of both heavy drinking and substance abuse. I don't know why there's such a delay here. Okay. The average age of this group was 39, and most participants were 49 or under. And it was a diverse sample with the largest population, 39.8%, made up of blacks. The highest proportion of heavy drinkers were whites, while the largest proportion of substance abusers were blacks. Most of this population had either Medicaid or no insurance, which is consistent with the catchment in this hospital. Those with no insurance also made up the largest proportion of those categorized as heavy drinkers and substance abusers. Okay, 65.3% of patients were unemployed, and this proportion was consistent with alcohol and drug abuse. 83.1% of all participants took the survey in English, and 90% of the substance abusers also took the survey in English. Approximately half of patients made one visit to the ER, which included, or in the past year, which included the visit of enrollment, and the other 50% of those enrolled were repeat visitors. Substance abusers made up a higher proportion of repeat visits as compared to the total population. For substance abuse, the computer method showed significantly more positives with 27.6 positives as compared to 7.5% with the physician-enlisted method. Only 76 or 10.7% of the total 707 positives were positive via both methods. We also looked at sensitivity and negative predictive value. For substance abuse, the computer had much higher sensitivity compared to the physician, and slightly higher in terms of negative predictive value. With alcohol, the results were similar. 21.7% screened positive for heavy drinking via the computer interview, while 10.6% screened positive via physician interview. And there's apparent discordance between the two methods, with only 62 or 9.4% of the 659 who screened positive being positive via both screening methods, computer and physician. For alcohol abuse, the computer was also superior in terms of both sensitivity and negative predictive value. Okay, and here I know this is a lot of data, so I'm just going to highlight a couple things. This is looking at demographic characteristics by which method the participant screened positive, computer only, physician only, or positive via both methods. For drug abuse, the only statistically significant variation was by race and ethnicity. Focus right here. with Hispanics reported more to the computer, blacks had slightly higher report to and blacks had a slightly higher report to the physician. Also note on the column under both only, all these participants are matched pairs. The participants are their own controls, yet only 10 to 12% endorse consistently across both methods. So as you can see, there's a lot of discordance between the two methods. Okay, now moving on to alcohol abuse. Those who screened positive varied significantly in terms of age, race, and language the survey was taken. Participants in younger age categories, Hispanics, and those who took the survey in Spanish, had greater proportions of screening positive via the computer. And those of older age and who took the survey in English made up larger proportions of those who screened positive via the physician. The proportion of positive screens via both methods increased with age, were higher with females, and were higher in those who took the survey in English. This table shows drug and alcohol abuse side by side. And just to summarize, the computer interview captured more for both substance and alcohol abuse, although the physician interview did capture some cases unique in comparison to those captured by the computer. The study had several limitations. We used one site, a large inner-city trauma center, but it has a highly representative sample of blacks, whites, and Hispanics. And another limitation was the method for physician interview data collection. The interviews were not audio or videotaped, so we had to rely upon chart review. But there were standard scripts given to all the physicians who were trained in screening. Also, provider heterogeneity was not controlled for, with most of the physicians being white males. Additionally, we had no known gold standard. With more funding, we may have been able to do hair analysis or a biomarker, or test a biomarker, but better ways of ascertaining validity are needed. Okay, the peer-reviewed literature contains studies supporting both computerized and face-to-face methods for alcohol and drug screening, but most have not looked at ED settings, have left comparison groups, or have looked at feasibility more than actual comparison of numbers. Automated processes may dumb down the profession so a machine can do it, which brings with it some fears about computers, similar to fears during the Industrial Revolution, but sometimes technology takes the place of people, and that's not always bad. We recognize both methods are imperfect, but they may be complementary when used together. In this sample, computerized screening captured more for drug abuse and alcohol abuse, but also missed some who reported only to the physician. Future studies are needed to better understand why some people are more comfortable reporting to a computer and others are more comfortable with a face-to-face interview. Thank you. That's it. And I know we're saving questions to Lynn. Right. Thank you, Carol.